January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see our friends without a road.
To a brand new week. As a matter of fact, it's going to be the start of the spring officially here in a couple of days. But in the meantime, it's time for the start of the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show. That's right, folks, and we're ready to go. Hope you are as well. Thank you so very much for tuning in tonight. We really appreciate it as we're starting to get a little wet weather out there. Just be careful. It's getting a little spotty showers right now. It's supposed to get worse tomorrow. We could use the rain. If just the strong winds might stay away, but we could definitely use the wet stuff. In the meantime, we got a lot of lined up for you tonight as we come to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studios on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And don't forget, you can now access us via your Alexa devices, and you can always listen on AM660TheAnswer.com or by downloading the free Answer Orlando app. Okay, I am the philosopher, political mad scientist, Christopher Hart, and in the studio with me today is the firm foundation. He's slender, more slender, but more stronger. That would be the firm foundation of the American Adversaries, one Aubrey Kahn.
Just call me Slim.
Just call him Slim. Don't spit into the wind. All right, and on the bridge is Nick LoCicero. 407-774-8255 is the number. Abe Katzman will be joining us here shortly, live from Jerusalem. And a little bit later on in the show, the second hour of the show, our man John Barros is going to be sitting in and joining us as well. But, of course, thank you for joining us. If you want to join us by phone, once again, feel free to give us a call. Okay, we got a lot to talk about. In the meantime, the stock market had a little bit of a sell-off today. It's being blamed on Facebook and the revelations that came out over the weekend about Cambridge Analytica. And if you listen to our show last night, we were all over this story last night. We'll go over it a little bit today. But I highly suggest, if you can't listen to us on Sunday night, to take advantage of our archive and listen to that Sunday night show at your convenience, because we cover a lot of stuff that everybody else ends up talking about on Monday. Well, we've already talked about it on Sunday night, including Cambridge Analytica. And Cambridge Analytica is a data mining operation out of Britain that would sell the data that they mined to campaigns, political campaigns, including the Brexit campaign on the side of exiting the EU and President Trump's campaign. But this is nothing new, as we talked about it last night. Everybody does this. And the big issue today was Cambridge Analytica took advantage of 50 million people's Facebook posts without their permission. Well, as we've talked about on this show numerous times, if you put anything on Facebook, it's out there for everybody, all right? It's out there for however many millions of people are on Facebook, or billions, whatever, to access that information. That's why you put it there. And so what they did was something called onboarding. And onboarding is when they do profiles. They would sometimes conduct surveys. And you've seen these on Facebook or Twitter. And or they would take advantage of other surveys that were conducted, or they would just collect raw data from people's Facebook pages.
Which is what Facebook does itself.
Facebook does it. And
Google does it. Yahoo does it. They all do it.
Everybody wants that information. All right? We talk about this on this show called What's the Score that I co-host on the weekends. Matter of fact, this past weekend we're talking about digital marketing. Well, digital marketing is all about data mining so that you can focus your message and the type of message to the particular individuals. And they do it in the private sector, and they also do it in politics. And we talked about this long before Donald Trump, way back, even I believe before Mitt Romney, about how the Obama campaign was using these sophisticated techniques, and that the Republicans had better get their you-know-what together and start doing it themselves.
But that was okay, because Facebook was doing the data mining and feeding it to the Obama administration because they're big liberals.
Right. And so what they have done now is they have shut down Cambridge Analytica. And, of course, we know that they've been changing their business model. Facebook changed its Facebook, not their business model, but the business model that they offer to people on their platform, and that went into effect as of the first of this year. Which, if your business model on Facebook is by the old rules, you now know that it changed at the beginning of the year. And what they're doing is they're trying to ace out, just like Twitter is, people with conservative messages. And it is a form of monopolization that should be challenged in the courts, but maybe eventually it will be, maybe by Cambridge Analytica.
Well, but it's a private company.
Right. And they're being screwed by, Facebook.
Facebook's a private company,
right,
so they can choose.
Well, so it's okay to force a baker to bake a cake for a gay wedding, but it's not okay to force Facebook to be fair about their business offering?
Because gays are protected.
Oh, but conservatives are not.
Conservatives are fair game.
No, they're not. They would have us think so, but we are not. And so this little controversy that was kicked off by the New York Times over the weekend supposedly is what's called the market is just fluctuating right now. It's in a state of limbo.
Poor Bezos, he lost $5 billion today.
Poor fella, boy, I just want to break down and cry.
He's only worth $200+ billion.
So. Right, yeah, but this Cambridge Analytica is owned by Robert Mercer. He's part of the Mercers and the Murdochs. That's all family money there. But once again, this data is gold in essence. Mm-hmm. And as much data as they can get on you, the more gold they got on you, because the more gold they want to get out of you.
They can sell.
Right. Whether it's selling you a message to vote for somebody or something, or selling you a message to buy something. That's what it's all about. This is commonplace. But of course, because Donald Trump was involved, there's got to be something wrong here. And evidently, Herr Mueller.
is looking into it, for Christ's sake. I mean, this is getting to be ridiculous, which brings us to Andy McCabe. We talked about this, again, all extensively last night. Go to our archive, AmericanAdversaries.com, and you can listen. But all this hysteria about McCabe over the weekend and Trump going to fire Mueller and all this other nonsense, Trump's just stirring the, you know, he's just stirring the flames. But he is, he's not going to evidently fire Herr Mueller. But Herr Mueller should be fired. And I talked about by who last night. And it is not Donald Trump. And it is not Rod Rosenstein. The problem with firing Herr Mueller is then everybody expects you to put somebody else in his place. And the problem with this whole nonsense is it was based on a pack of lies. And that's why McCabe got fired for the quote-unquote lack of candor. Right? Well, that means he wasn't truthful, which means he was either hiding the truth or lying. Exactly. And evidently, in his statement over the weekend, he may have implicated lying, leaking, thieving Jim Boy Comey in another lie.
But you see, there's two classes here.
Yeah. Well, that's
if you or I lie to the FBI, we go to jail.
Well, which brings us to Michael Flynn. Okay. We talked about this last night.
That's right.
Okay. And especially if no charges are filed against McCabe, but even if they are, Michael Flynn's attorney should file a motion with the court to have all charges, have the confession thrown out, all the charges thrown out, and have his record wiped clean because of, first of all, the whole dossier business, okay? But that aside, the special counsel is not to be appointed unless there's an actual crime to investigate, a crime that has been documented that can be, there it is. There's the crime that was committed, like you, the bank that was robbed or the person that was shot or the house or the building that was burned to the ground by an arsonist. Yeah, there was no crime. This has been a whole, you know, elongated fishing trip. So, that being said, and being that if somebody, quote-unquote, fires Mueller, the assumption is somebody's going to have to step in and take his place. What needs to happen is a federal judge needs to shut it down on those legal grounds. But somebody needs to evidently ask someone to do it. Now, there are two logical places that are in play right now where this could be done. And I would suggest that both defense attorney teams do so. And that would be for Paul Manafort, where I don't think it's got much of a chance because you got a much more liberal judge handling his case. I would do it for Michael Flynn. There's where you got a chance for a good ruling. And even if the two judges rule differently, that's even more impetus to take it higher up to the Supreme Court where there would have to be a final decision made anyway. And what the judge handling the Michael Flynn case now, and by the way, Rudy Contreras didn't recuse himself, as it turns out. He was, quote-unquote, recused with the E-D on it. He was recused by some higher authority, which took him off the Flynn case, which means that sorry SOB was all set to put pass sentence on Michael Flynn, knowing that the man was innocent.
But he was protecting his friend.
Yeah, well,
who he
that's
was
not
in collusion
supposed to happen. Yeah, I know.
FBI.
I know it. And that's not supposed to happen in the United States of America. And we cannot sit by silently and allow it to do so. So, Flynn's legal team needs to go to this judge, and this judge is a no-nonsense judge, and he's been down this path before. He was down this path with Ted Stevens and other cases where prosecutors went way beyond their jurisdiction, and it ended up costing people their lives and their livelihood. In Ted Stevens' case, it probably literally cost him his life. But he wasn't able to do anything when he found out about it other than excoriate the prosecutors in a written statement. Now he can do something about it. And he damn well should. And somebody out there besides me needs to step up and ask him to do so. That he can shut this thing down. And it needs to be done. And then it would go to the Supreme Court and they could shut it down. And say enough. Enough of this nonsense. If we really want to unite our nation, this BS has got to come to an end. And if we do not want to unite our nation, then we better damn well be ready for the consequences. And they ain't going to be pretty for anybody, including the elites. As a matter of fact, in case they didn't notice, they are the ones with the most to lose. Thanks to themselves. By the way, did you see where poor old Andy McCabe, where everybody feels so sorry for the man because he's been cheated out of, and he wasn't cheated out of his $1.7 million or whatever it is pension because he's still eligible at age 57. But you know what? That little SOB runt is worth well over $10 million. And we're supposed to feel sorry for him? I'm barely scratching by. I don't know about you folks. I don't feel not one bit of pity for him or any of them like him. And anybody that does is a blatant fool or uninformed sad sack. All right. By the way, the president has hired Joe DeGeneva to his legal team. And I've heard DeGeneva talking about this. This nonsense about appointing a special prosecutor when you don't even have a crime to investigate, how that is ridiculous and a flagrant misuse of prosecutorial power. A judge can and should and is the logical one to end this. And it should be Flynn's judge. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Abe Katzman will be joining us live from Jerusalem. And thank you for joining us tonight. You are listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, and we are primed and ready to go.
FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
Business owners, this is for you. Competition is tough these days, so you need maximum visibility to stand out in this crowded landscape. And Dino Rento Studios can give you that visibility. Their eye-catching signs, 3D displays, banners, bumper stickers, and car magnets will get your business the attention you're looking for. Dino will also make your convention display the talk of the event. So call Dino Rento Studios at 800-704-7089, 800-704-7089, or visit them at DinoRentosStudios.com. Dino, R-E-N-T-O-S, Studios.com, where they bring ideas to life.
All right, of course, that music means it is time for us to go to Abe Katzman, who's coming to us live from Jerusalem. Abe, how you doing tonight? Appreciate you being there.
I'm doing just fine. Good to be with you.
Excellent. First of all, let's start with the Saudi prince in Washington, D.C. He's come to see the president. This is the the coming ruler of Saudi Arabia, the crown prince, I guess, right? Bin Salman?
Yes. MBS. Mohammed bin Salman. MBS is what all the talking heads like to call him. So
okay.
If you want to sound cool, that's what you got to call him.
Okay.
Anyway, he is coming. I think he's arriving today, meeting with the president tomorrow, perhaps. One thing that I haven't seen much U.S. press on this, but I think is underplayed, for all of the attention that he is getting for social reform in Saudi Arabia, he's also the acting defense minister. And that cannot go unnoticed here. There is so much going on in terms of Iran and Saudi Arabia and Syria and Russia and Israel and North Korea. The fact that you've got the Saudi defense minister visiting Washington, to me, is more important than it's the guy who's allowing women to drive.
And that's what the media is focusing on. They did a 60 Minutes a profile of him last night, and that's what they were focusing on, how he's trying to change be more liberal Muslims over there in Saudi Arabia. And certainly he has made some reforms, but that's in conjunction with the things that he's doing internationally and with terrorists and with the corruption in Saudi Arabia. And he is, I know that he's the crown prince, but he is really the one who's in control right now, is he not?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, his father is in his 80s, so I don't know how hard he works every day. I'm not even sure what the king's job description really is. But yeah, he's really the prince has gone on what I guess could only be described as a crash program of trying to purge radical elements of Islam from the Saudis. And remember, the Saudis have always had this sort of split personality. On the one hand, there are a lot of people there who understand the need to be pro-Western and understand the importance of the American alliance and understand that they face threats from Iran. And you also have people, though, who are the biggest funders of Islamic radicalism, and I would go so far as to say Islamic terror in the world. They have been the source of a great deal of it, and I think that he is trying to clean out as best possible that element of Saudi society, and part of that has to do with modernization. The more he modernizes, the more he allows the harshest versions of Islam, the more he marginalizes them, I think the more likely it is that he's going to make some progress. And look, every day that he is not overthrown is another day in the right direction. The problem is he's still one man.
Right.
And he was not democratically elected. We'll see what happens one day. Maybe they'll surprise us. But in the meantime, he's one terror attack or one bullet away from having Saudi Arabia revert to whatever it was before.
Okay.
It's a very precarious position.
All right. Stay with us, Abe. We'll be right back after this break.
On the road again. I'm on the road again. I ain't got no war.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. 5.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump is declaring the need for a nationwide public relations effort to convince Americans, and particularly children, to not start using drugs. He announced a new website, crisisnextdoor.gov, and warned of the dangers of opioids, including fentanyl. He also called for broadcasting great commercials during the right shows to demonstrate to children how bad drugs are. Police had asked residents living near the site of the latest Austin explosion to remain in their homes until 2 p.m., but an hour later, the area was still on lockdown. Police Chief Brian Manley said earlier Monday that although officers didn't find anything suspicious in the southwestern Austin residential neighborhood of Travis Country, investigators were still collecting evidence. Sunday night's explosion occurred around 8 p.m. On Wall Street, a down day as the Dow dropped 336 points, the Nasdaq lower by 138. More details at srnnews.com.
News and the latest answer traffic now.
According to FBI specialists, the Pulse shooter's wife knew what the Pulse shooter was going to do at Pulse nightclub. We're on day three of the trial, and we've learned, among other things, that the shooter spent a lot of money on his wife in the days and weeks prior to the shooting, including going out to eat a lot, buying toys for their child, and even buying his wife a $7,000 ring. He also added her as the beneficiary of his PNC bank account just days before the shooting. Her lawyers are claiming that officers forced her into making statements after 12 hours of questioning with no recording. A Cirque du Soleil performer died after performing during a show in Tampa over the weekend. Company officials announced yesterday that Yann Arnaud fell on Saturday night while performing an aerial stunt during the show. Cirque du Soleil canceled their last two shows on Sunday while authorities investigate. Arnaud had been a performer for Cirque du Soleil for over 15 years. I'm Zwayne, and that's your Answer News Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
Springtime is here. That means it's time for the 34th Annual All-British Car Show. Join the Central Florida British Car Club Friday, April 6th, 5:30 p.m. at Fiddler's Green in beautiful Winter Park for a pre-show meet and greet. And on Saturday, April 7th at 9 a.m. in Mead Gardens in Winter Park for the car show and judging. Along with up to 200 British cars, there will be specialty vendors, raffles, silent auction, and valve cover racing. Four Rivers, Jeremiah's, and Tijuana Flats will be there, and admission is free. It's fun for the whole family. So experience a day of British automotive history in picturesque Mead Gardens, April 7th. For more information, email info@allbritishcarclub.com. That's info@allbritishcarclub.com. A member of the British American Chamber of Commerce.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santamassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 screening solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
I-4 slowdown starting at Lake Monroe, and they continue westbound all the way to downtown Orlando. You also have slowdowns in the Altamont Springs and Maitland areas, but the real slowdowns start at Colonial Drive all the way to downtown and into the 441. You also have slowdowns in the Millennia area right before you get to the turnpike. 408 westbound is congested from I-4 till right past the 441. 408 eastbound is fairly clear currently. I'm Zwayne, and that's your answer traffic update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
What's going on, everybody? That's right. It's your boy, the 7-foot wonder kid himself, the Blueprint Matt Morgan, the genetic giant. And right now you're listening to the American Adversaries Political Professional Wrestling Show only on Orlando's WRL FM 105.5 and on AM 660, The Answer.
All right, we're back. Thanks for tuning in tonight. That's right, folks. We're here live in the Relax and Comfort Studios. 407-774-8255 is the number. By we, I mean Aubrey Kahn and myself, Christopher Hart. Abe Katzman is joining us live from Jerusalem. We were just talking about the Crown Prince's visit to Washington, D.C. this week, meeting with the president, and the fact that he is the defense minister also of Saudi Arabia. And, of course, Mike Pompeo is most likely going to be sitting in on the meeting. Do you think North Korea and Iran are going to come up as subject matters in this meeting, Abe?
I have a feeling they might, but you never know. Of course they will.
Yeah,
I think
right.
before they've actually sat down in their chairs, I think there will be discussions beginning. These are hot topics. They're hot topics for the Saudis. They are hot topics for Pompeo. This is right up his alley also. And I think it's going to be very interesting. I think what's going to be interesting with him in particular, it's not even so much this meeting, but he, you know, any U.S. Secretary of State carries a certain amount of weight just because of their position. But when you have the background that he has and you're coming out of the CIA, he's going to be a tough person for others to challenge. And I think that he's smart, he's competent, he knows what he's talking about, and he's very hawkish on the same things that the Saudis are hawkish about. So I think they are going to get along quite well.
Are we witnessing, especially with the reception President Trump got when he went to Saudi Arabia, a new alliance, if you will, in the Middle East? I know we've talked about how Saudi Arabia and Israel are finding new pathways to work with one another. Are we seeing sort of a triad of Israel, Saudi Arabia, and the United States looking to be the dominant power in the Middle East?
I think I'd might even throw Egypt into that mix. Egypt doesn't have the economic might that the Saudis do, but they have the population. So at the moment, yes, again, you're dealing with always precarious political situations that can turn on a dime. But I think we've got what is to a large degree a lining up as a Shiite-Sunni battle. Not entirely, but that seems to have a lot to do with it. The Saudis are worried, and the Saudis realize that they have common interests, lots of common interests at this point, with the U.S. and with Israel. And I'll tell you one area you're really seeing it. There is an erosion of support, of vocal support, at least, for the Palestinian cause not just by the Arab countries. You even see it among the European countries, because I think they don't want to, at this point, they don't want to upset President Trump. He's on them about all kinds of things anyway, and I think that this is something that they don't really feel they have a strong stake in anyway. So I think that the Palestinians are, Palestinian leadership, I should say, is being increasingly isolated.
Yeah, it's about time they are. You mentioned the Iranians, and the president has issued a deadline, evidently, and this is not getting much play over here in the media. Is it getting any play over there? Because he evidently has issued a deadline of May the 12th for the European Union to somehow work out a better deal with Iran, or he's going to reimpose the sanctions, evidently.
It's news here. Everything about Iran tends to be news here. This is, I think, fairly important. We're talking about a deadline of May 12th. So we're still, 6 weeks, 7 weeks out. The Europeans are reacting. They've actually proposed a bunch of new sanctions themselves, which right off the bat, I heard somebody comment. They said, Donald Trump has gotten more results regarding Iran in the past week than Barack Obama got in 8 years. it might even be worse than that. Situation with Barack Obama was a negative one over the years.
Right.
But even so, Europeans are trying to save the accord, but the belief is that this is an accord that is going to collapse if the U.S. pulls out. No doubt about it. What I worry about is that even though the Europeans are moving in the right direction, even their proposals here are about sanctioning certain people and certain entities. Don't get me wrong, all of which deserve sanctioning, but it doesn't fix the fatal flaws of the nuclear deal regarding right. inspections, regarding sunset clause, whatever. And yeah, bringing up Mike Pompeo, I have a feeling he's pretty much the same way. So
yeah.
We'll see. I think I don't think the Europeans are done proposing additional measures, additional sanctions.
Yeah, and what you want to bet that MBS is going to be talking with the administration about, say, maybe some contingency plans if the United States does pull out of the accord and what that will mean. In the meantime, over there, it was a pretty violent weekend this weekend, evidently.
Yes, unfortunately. Things have been fairly quiet here in Israel on the terror front. Fairly quiet. It's always a relative term.
Right.
But over the weekend, there was, just in the past couple of days, there was a man stabbed, a Jewish man stabbed in the Old City, father of four, stabbed and killed. There was, in fact, the attacker turns out to be from the West Bank, but initially the reports were that he had Turkish papers on him. Not sure where what to do with that bit of information, but I thought it's interesting.
Yeah.
Also, on Friday afternoon, there were two soldiers who were killed when they were intentionally run over by a Palestinian, you know, in a Palestinian car ramming attack. And what's besides the attacks themselves, one of the things that's become news here is that the Palestinian Authority came out with no condemnation, didn't have a word to say about it, and U.S. Ambassador Friedman called them out on it and said, "It's you know, how is it that you can be quiet in this kind of situation?"
Right.
Mahmoud Abbas, who seems to be more than a little bit frustrated with the Trump administration. He responded. He called Friedman the son of a dog and a settler, which apparently are two of the worst insults you can give somebody.
Evidently.
Anyway, and Friedman responded that, you know, I think Friedman is actually participating in a conference on anti-Semitism right now. And, you know, while he's there, gets called, you know, son of a dog and settler. So, anyway, this what's going on here could easily get worse. The terror attacks, the Palestinian leadership support for it. There are reasons to expect that there will at least be more attempts. There is the American embassy move and the moves of other embassies to Jerusalem. Passover is coming up in a couple of weeks.
Right.
Independence Day for Israel is coming up, and of course the Palestinians have what their version of it, which they call Nakba Day, Catastrophe Day. That's what they call their Israeli independence. There are just things that have been going on, little things that are almost, well, I wouldn't call them under the radar, but they don't all seem to be put in the same basket of information, and I think they should be. For example, there was a French consulate driver who was caught smuggling weapons from Gaza to the West Bank. Because he gets to drive with diplomatic plates, and which are, you know, they let them through.
Sure.
Kind of the courtesy, diplomatic courtesy. Well, turns out he's moving weapons. This is not a great sign. You also have, Hamas apparently was revealed as trying to set up a base of operations in Lebanon. And I don't know who was responsible for this, but his car was blown up. He was not killed. I think he lost a leg. The Hamas representative there. But, you know, this Hamas exporting from Gaza either weapons or military base building, whatever it is, also doesn't look good. Doesn't look good for a peaceful future here.
No, not hardly. And of course, you got the turmoil going on in Lebanon. And then, did I see where the lead cleric in Lebanon has demanded that the Hezbollah leader lose his citizenship? Is this a good sign, or is just this sign of more chaos, turmoil?
Everything here is a sign of chaos and turmoil, I think, when you're talking about Lebanon and Syria and Gaza. But in this case, this to me is interesting because he came out and called the Nasrallah, who is the Hezbollah leader. He said he should lose his citizenship because he has been engaged in clear collaboration with a foreign country. And in fact, he was reported to have said that there's an Iranian law which gives Ayatollah Khamenei absolute power. And he said that that Iranian law is above the Lebanese constitution. So that, I think, is what set this off. But that takes guts, because if you think about this, Hezbollah co-owns Lebanon. I'm not sure that I'd say that they own it quite to the degree that they own the area that they control in Syria, but they run half the place, at least. And, is this a sign that the opposing forces are gaining strength? Is it something desperate? I think maybe it's in the context of a lot of saber rattling that's been going on. In fact, there's even a belief by some that the statements lately coming from Iran and coming from Russia and from the Syrians are actually setting the stage for their preemptive attack in the region. And if that happens, Lebanon is going to bear a good deal of the brunt of any kind of response that is going to come from that would come from Israel. Mm. I don't know the accuracy of this sort of thing. It sounds plausible, no question about it. The different forces are on a collision course. We'll just see if anybody swerves out of the way first.
Wow. Well, I hope they're talking about that this tonight and tomorrow at the White House as well.
I think so.
Yeah.
I would think so.
All right, Abe, if you'll stay with me, I want to take a break and come back with a couple more questions for you, okay? All right, once again, thank you. Abe is coming to us live from Jerusalem. You can visit his website, though, at your convenience. That's abekatzman.com. That's abekatzman with an S.com. We are the American Adversaries, and we'll be right back after this short break.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
We here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Jana Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that one of the biggest investments we'll make in life is the house we choose to make our home. So why make this investment without knowing exactly what you're getting into? That's where Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections comes in. He'll make sure that excitement over the purchase of a house or rental property or commercial property doesn't turn into a nightmare after you take the keys. To get the most thorough and complete inspection, go to OrlandosHomeInspector.com or just call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254. Don't roll the dice on your home purchase. Remember, call Aubrey Kahn at 321-624-0254.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
I-4 slowdown starting at Lake Monroe, and they continue westbound all the way to downtown Orlando. You also have slowdowns in the Altamont Springs and Maitland areas, but the real slowdowns start at Colonial Drive all the way to downtown and into the 441. You also have slowdowns in the Millennia area right before you get to the turnpike. 408 westbound is congested from I-4 till right past the 441. 408 eastbound is fairly clear currently. I'm Zwayne, and that's your answer traffic update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, thanks so much for being with us tonight. Just love that music. Love talking to Abe Katzman, too, and he's coming to us live from Jerusalem tonight. And we've been talking about the situation in the Middle East primarily here tonight. And Abe, I think, you know, we were wrapping up that last segment. You were talking about forces sort of being on a collision course over there. I noticed that the president of the World Jewish Congress gave a speech or wrote an op-ed or something talking about he is in fear for the future of the future of Israel. First of all, tell us who he is. What is the World Jewish Congress, and what was he talking about, please?
World Jewish Congress is a very broad-based Jewish organization. It may be the largest in the world. I'm not sure, but it's an important organization. If anybody represents the Jewish establishment, that's probably it. The current president is Ronald Lauder, who is actually a person of great substance, has a political background. He's a very sober guy. If it were anybody else, I would be tempted to be more dismissive of this. He wrote a column, an opinion column in the New York Times, and in it he said that he feared for Israel's future. He thought that the demise of the two-state solution is a big problem, and that also the intra-religious battles between the ultra-Orthodox and the secular, that these also could create big problems for Israel in the future. Even after reading it, though, I've got to say I was more than a little bit unimpressed. I think Israel has its hands full, no question. Lots of problems here. And yet, Israel has a sense of identity and a sense of understanding of what it is, what it's here for. It's not going anywhere, and there are going to be great efforts made to keep this country moving in the right direction. The talk about the demographics and the two-state solution, been hearing this forever. What are you really proposing here? I mean, you don't even have people on the other side. Even if it could happen, you don't have anyone on the other side willing to say, yes, we will accept a Palestinian state. In doing so, we renounce all further claims, and the battle is over. Let's shake hands. Nothing else. You have your Jewish state. We have our Palestinian state. They won't say that. They have never said it. The last time they got close, even with under President Obama and Secretary Kerry, when they were getting close to being kind of forced to say something like that, they ran into the arms of Hamas and tore apart the whatever peace process was going on.
Right.
So I'm not sure who two states. As to steal a Bret Stephens line, sure, if the other state is Canada, but that's not what you're getting here.
Right, exactly. You can't.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
And in terms of the interreligious issues, this has been an issue for a long time. Israel will hash this out. I think it's actually a little bit strange for someone in America to be making this kind of claim when American Judaism is in crisis. Outside of the Orthodox and very strongly affiliated circles, you're talking about, you know, intermarriage rates of 75%. When intermarriage happens, Jewish continuity does not. So even though there are some 5 or 6 million Jews currently in America, the number that are connected, that are Jewish in a seriously meaningful way, besides just ethnicity and a little bit of culture,
name
that number is plummeting.
Yeah, they're Jewish in name only, so to speak. You know, if if Hillary had won, or if this was President Obama, I might give a little bit more credence to the fellow's words, President Lawler's words. But you got a different rascal with Donald Trump. You've got more support for Israel and its survival now than ever. And then, as you've mentioned on the show numerous times yourself, the support amongst Christians in this nation for Israel is probably as strong as it's ever been, if not stronger. And those are forces that, you know, they're not going to be denied, in my opinion, Abe.
Yeah, and I think that of all times now that the two-state solution is far back on the back burner, if it's even on the stove anymore.
Right.
Under the current president and under the rest of the Middle Eastern countries, nobody is vocally pushing for that right now. And they give lip service to it, but it's just not high on their list of priorities. They've got other things to worry about. In fact, it may even be that some of these terror attacks are a cry for attention, in a sense.
You know,
they need to put themselves back on the front page.
That thought occurred to me as you were describing it a while ago, especially that Abbas and the Palestinian Authority is being, you know, marginalized by even the players in the Middle East. It's like it's their plea, don't forget us, we're still here kind of thing, which in an odd sort of way is a positive sign, even though, you know, we don't want to see soldiers being run over or a father of four being stabbed to death or whatever the mayhem may be. But it's the cruelness being perpetrated upon Israelis that is what's keeping peace from happening. It always has been, and until that changes, peace won't happen. And Israel, or at least Prime Minister and others in Israel, seem to understand that, and yet a lot of the rest of the world is yet to get it, unfortunately. Meanwhile...
I think that's absolutely right. Yep.
All right. One last question. Poland still can't get out of its own way with Israel. A Holocaust ceremony had to be canceled. Tell us about that. You got about a minute, Abe, if you can do that.
Sure. The mayor of an Israeli town was leading a group of students. He was supposed to speak today. And in his speech, he made reference to Poles who turned over Jews to Nazis. And the Polish authorities censored the speech. They wanted him to erase Poles and write in the word Ukrainians. And even though he made no reference to Polish death camps, he didn't blame the Polish nation. He was talking about individuals. And he even mentioned that there are Poles who saved Jews. This Polish law is a bad law. It's showing itself how bad it is by creating ridiculous results like this. I know the Poles are struggling to save face. I don't think they're succeeding. I'm not sure what they're going to do, but it's not good. And as we've spoken about before, it has roused tremendous anti-Semitism that thought was long dormant.
It needs to be repealed, and at the very least, it needs to be a campaign issue in their next election over there. God bless you, Abe. Thanks so much. Once again, you're a wealth of knowledge for us. We really appreciate it. And listeners are constantly telling me how they love to listen to you on our show. Thank you so much. You have a safe week, and we'll be praying for you and Israel.
Thank you so much.
All right. Once again, that's AbeKatzman.com. We'll be right back.
FM 105.5 AM 660. The Answer. WORL. Altamont Springs. Orlando. A service of Salem Media Group. It's sick.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up.
January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. We assembled here today are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. There should be no fear. We are protected, and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. We stand at the birth of a new millennium, ready to unlock the mysteries of space, to free the earth from the miseries of disease, and to harness the energies, industries, and technologies of tomorrow. A new national pride will stir our souls, lift our sights, and heal our divisions. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless America.
Let's go see the elephant! When I'm a road!
Welcome to hour number two of the American Adversaries Drive Time Now Prime Time Show, coming to you live from the Relax and Comfort Studios on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. I am Christopher Hart. Aubrey Kahn stepped out of the studio momentarily to speak with one of his daughters. And into the studio stepped John Barrows of WhoWillStand.net. Of course, John is great friend of the shows, and great to see you again, John. How you doing?
Oh, man, it's so good to get in. You know, this whole world has gone nuts. You got to come into this little room to just get straightened out again.
That's why I love coming in here every afternoon, Sunday through Friday. All right, Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. As we come to you on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. All right, I hope you caught the interview with Abe Katzman in the last hour of the show. If you didn't, after tonight's show, you can go to our archive, AmericanAdversaries.com, and catch that interview and what we talked about last night on the show. We talked a lot about Andy McCabe, not with Abe, I mean on the show last night and then before Abe tonight, and something called Cambridge Analytica. And the effect that it's had on that Cambridge story on Facebook today. We'll be talking more about those things as the week goes along. And then with Abe, we talked about the Saudi Crown Prince's visit to Washington, D.C. and President Trump and a lot of the things that they may be talking about. So once again, please go to our archive to take advantage of that if you did not hear it or want to hear it, parts or all of it again. In the meantime, the president and the first lady today were at a ceremony in, I believe it was New Hampshire, where he spoke on opioids. No, he was not on opioids. He spoke about opioids. Let's put it that way. And the plague that the opioid abuse and use is causing amongst our citizens. So many people dying of overdoses and bad drugs, things that they don't know what they're actually using. And the president addressed that today. And he addressed both ends of it. He addressed the traffickers and called for stronger punishment against traffickers, even death penalties in some cases against traffickers. I'm not a fan of the death penalty. I've talked about this before, but I suppose if you're going to impose it for someone who is smuggling massive amounts of cocaine, fentanyl, or heroin into the country and has been doing it for a long time and you can associate it with deaths,
which is a pretty big bar to cross. But if you can do all of that, I suppose it's appropriate. But primarily, he wants to do something about the plague, the president, I mean. And he also talked about the demand side and how something needs to be done on the demand side. And I've talked about my solution for the problem before. It's quite different than the president's in this case. We can maybe take that up again at some later date. McCabe, we talked about the McCabe firing. McCabe's not going to lose his pension. He's still going to get his pension. He won't get it until he's 57. What he's losing is some benefits, like health benefits and things like that in the meantime. But guess what? He can afford it for himself. Guy drives a Porsche, right? He drives a Porsche to work, and he's worth about $14 million. Now, this guy makes a couple hundred thousand bucks a year, tops, and he's been there for 20 years. You would think that he pinches his pennies, except that he drives a Porsche. Normally, people in the agency, like the FBI or the CIA, that would be flaunting so much money like this would cause them to be, shall we say, scrutinized a little bit more closely and perhaps audited to make sure that they're not selling the country out. What was that spy's name, Pollock or Pollard or whatever his name was? He was selling the country out for money, and they figured it out because of his lavish spending habits. I'm just saying, don't go feeling sorry for McCabe. He's quite well off. And don't forget, his wife got some $800,000 from the Clinton Foundation to run for Congress. So once again, this is that incestuous swamp of D.C. that I was talking about on last Friday's show. Matt Morgan has sued the bridge engineers and construction company, and I presume the Florida Institute of, Florida FIU, Florida International University, because of the bridge failure this past week. And on the grounds that a point that we raised that very night on the show, talked about it again last night, it came out over the weekend, that one of the engineers had seen cracks in the bridge and had called the DOT guy, that's the Department of Transportation guy, who was, I guess, the lead inspector of the bridge, to tell him that there were cracks. But he didn't call the guy's cell phone. He called his office number. The guy was out. He left a message on the machine. And by the way, we found cracks, and I don't think it's a safety issue, just wanted to let you know. Have a good day. And the guy didn't hear the message until the day after the bridge collapsed. But Matt Morgan made the point today. I mean, this is ridiculous that this bridge was being tested and adjusted and then also had cracks in it that were noted. And still people were being allowed to go and come underneath the thing. It was a ticking time bomb. And that will be just the first, I'm sure, of many lawsuits against those companies down there and the university, I would presume. All right. Speaking of lawsuits and legal things going on, what's the legal update to the center down there? Any news?
Yeah. I don't have any news. No, there's no news. We just keep praying and hoping that it shuts down. I know I found out a new business interest that they're all in. There's this group, and it's a guy named Carrie. Then it's Dr. Rodriguez. And then it's some of the other staff from the abortion clinic. They're the ones that work for Green Relief. So the doctor that is writing the prescriptions for the medical marijuana is killing about 25 babies a day in the afternoon. And now they're opening, like an accidental fall kind of a lawyer's office in the old abortion clinic on Virginia. So it's quite a triune group they've got going here with medical marijuana, killing babies, and then having the same doctor be working on people's medical claims against insurance companies. Just imagine.
Oh, what a sweet little thing they got going there,
it's
right?
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's like on The Simpsons. Is it Dr. Nick Riviera or whatever? They send him over there to get the reports doctored up.
Or like I said, the walking tall thing. Remember how they were into everything, those people?
Yeah.
And that's what this seems to be happening now.
Wow. All right. Once again, John Barros is a sidewalk counselor. He stands outside this abortion mill downtown 5-6 days a week. And even when the weather's inclement, and he's down there trying to convince people that there's a better way than abortion. And it's something that you can see. You can get a little taste of it if you go to whowillstand.net. Or go to John Barros' Facebook page, or just Google John Barros, or Google Who Will Stand, and you'll get a little sample of what he does. And once again, want to thank our listeners who swing by there and give him a little show of support.
I had one, what was it, Friday, pulled up. I hate when I'm preaching and somebody pulls up in a car behind me because you don't know what's going to happen.
But, yeah.
One of the people said, John, I think it was Yoli, says, John, look behind you. And I look, and this guy's holding a $20 bill out at me. He goes, hey, man, go buy some lunch. And he says, don't ever quit. He's a listener to this program.
Oh, well, I want to thank him for doing that.
I didn't get his name, but there's been so many coming by. It's really amazing that your listeners actually do care.
And we appreciate that, folks. And once again, I especially want to thank you for doing that and just going by and showing John whatever support you can show him, even if it's just a thumbs up as you drive by the street and honking the horn. It's all appreciated. And believe you me, the boss that he's working for takes notice of things like that, right?
Oh, yes.
You know
sir.
Who I'm talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes, he does.
All right. So once again, that's on Lucerne Terrace, just south of downtown proper, or right off Orange Avenue in downtown Orlando. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I want to hear what some of the good news that John has lately down there. So we'll stick around. I hope you'll stick around for that. And I see that the rain is moving in out there. So if you are not on the roads and have to go out on the roads, allow yourself a little extra time to get where you're going, because it can get messy out there tonight. And if you don't have to go out, this would be a good night to stay in and listen to the American Adversaries. That's right. We'll be right back.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer.
Springtime is here. That means it's time for the 34th annual All British Car Show. Join the Central Florida British Car Club Friday, April 6th, 5:30 p.m. at Fiddler's Green in beautiful Winter Park for a pre-show and meet and greet. And on Saturday, April 7th at 9 a.m. in Mead Gardens in Winter Park for the car show and judging. Along with up to 200 British cars, there will be specialty vendors, raffles, silent auction, and valve cover racing. Four Rivers, Jeremiah's, and Tijuana Flats will be there, and admission is free. It's fun for the whole family. So experience a day of British automotive history in picturesque Mead Gardens, April 7th. For more information, email info@allbritishcarclub.com. That's info@allbritishcarclub.com. A member of the British American Chamber of Commerce.
Here from Vacation Travel Planners, a member of Cruise Planners, with the latest vacation deals.
Like Bahama cruises from $249 per person. Or how about a 7-night Alaska cruise from $649 per person? On Celebrity Cruises, book a balcony or higher on a 7-night select Caribbean, Europe, or Alaska sailings and receive specialty dinner for two. Get free prepaid gratuities on select sailings with Oceanic Cruises. Sandals and Beaches all-inclusive resorts are up to 65% off. Get free prepaid gratuities on select Avalon Waterways River Cruises.
Give us a call at 321-251-4777. That's 321-251-4777. Or visit us at vacationtravelplanners.com. Keep listening to the American Adversaries for new travel specials every week. Bon voyage!
In traffic, we've got the answer.
Your I-4 slowdowns are solid from Lake Monroe all the way to downtown Orlando. It doesn't clear up until after the Millennia area and even after Dr. Phillips. You're going to find congestion on Highway 50 starting at the Orlando Executive Airport all the way to Pine Hills. 408 westbound is congested from I-4 till almost John Young Parkway. 408 eastbound is congested a bit in the Azalea Park area, as well as the 417 and 408 exchange. I'm Zwayne in the Transit Traffic Update. FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Well, I guess we have found John's theme music here. You like this tune,
man,
do you?
This is my favorite. Keep it going, Nick. This is my favorite song ever written. When you live in chaos and death and all this garbage all day long, this song, something about it, man, I don't know what it is.
But it is a wonderful world.
I mean,
with all of the things that, even that are in it, bad, good, evil, it's a wonderful world.
Yeah.
And because God is in it, and we have the choice to accept God, right?
Yes.
And that there's nothing more wonderful than that. God loves us so much, he gave us the opportunity to reject him. That's pretty doggone awesome when you think about it.
Well, yeah, sadly.
Sadly, too many people do.
Well,
but he gives us the choice, you see. He could have made us such that we worshiped him just automatically, instinctively, right? Like a cat goes after a mouse or something. But he gave us choice. All right, so you down there at the clinic, did some people make the right choice?
Oh, yes, sir.
Recently.
God's always at work there.
All right, tell us.
There's one that's absolutely amazing, and this is a, I don't want to get it wrong, and I want to just show how it's a team. It's an absolute team, you know, that God has put together to do these things. There was a young girl named Kelly, 19 years old. She came to the clinic, and she was going to have an abortion, and through the first day she came on a Monday.
Was she alone?
Her mother had dropped her off. And trying to remember, through the meeting with her on the way in and all of that, she was hesitating. She was listening. Karen and this and Yoli are two ladies that serve down there. And most of the time. And they got to speak with her. She sat through the preaching. Finally, God works on her heart, and she agrees to get out of there. And Yoli says, okay, let's go. Puts her in her car, drives her over to Choices. Are you starting to see the whole team here,
right?
These ladies, the preaching, all the stuff, and then goes over to Choices, which
the Choices Women's Clinic on East West Colonial Drive.
Correct. Right. Who have changed from what they used to be, not like passing out clothes and all that kind of thing. This is more of a medical clinic now with a real doctor that's in charge of it, with real nurses that work there, real medical professionals, best equipment money can buy. All of that is in that place. Well, she's inside. She gets inside, and she starts filling out the paperwork, and she goes in to get some counseling, but her mother finds out where she is.
Oh.
So her mother shows up, talks her out of the place, right? She leaves, never has her ultrasound, never anything. Had some counseling, but no ultrasound. Goes out to her mother. Her mother speeds away, takes her away. Yoli and had her and the Choices people had her number. They're all texting back and forth and all that. Says she's going to come back and get the ultrasound. Well, 2 days later, she shows up back at the abortion clinic. Her mom drops her off again. We go through the same routine. And then finally, she leaves. Yoli's there again. Yoli gives her a ride to Choices. Choices now is a medical clinic, right?
Right.
So they don't just do an ultrasound. They do blood pressure work. They do all this stuff that a nurse, if you went to a doctor's office, is going to do to you. And they find out, they say, wait a minute. She had her ultrasound and all that, got to see her baby and all that, the beautiful things. But then they told her, look, they told Yoli, she needs to get to a hospital right now. Her blood pressure is 180 over something, whatever it was. Right. And so Yoli takes her to the hospital, the ER at Florida South. Florida South starts looking at her, and the doctor does, and he says, you know, we need to admit her. So they admitted her, and then she got admitted into the women's section. They have a new women's section of that hospital. Come to find out, you know, and we were all thankful about that, that the hospital took her in. Then we find out that they had to take that baby. They did a C-section to save her life and the baby's life.
Really?
That baby is alive now on just a ventilator. And this was at 25 weeks pregnant, 24 weeks into 25. This is, they killed them there up to that.
Right.
But this little baby boy named Marcus now.
Huh.
Can you picture? He's not even on anything except a ventilator. He doesn't even have, there's no, not all those things hooked
complications
up.
Complications.
No, there's none of all of that stuff.
The lungs are the last to develop, evidently, I think it is.
Yeah. And their professionals are taking care of that kind of thing.
And so she's okay, too?
She's okay. She's happy. The people from Choices went over and visited her in the hospital and the baby and all that, and but there's so much to think about this thing that happened.
She could have, if
she could have died during the abortion.
That was the number one thing.
Right.
Okay. Under,
during the abortion, she could have died.
They do not.
No, they just put you in the stirrups and start hacking away.
And gone away. And the people that I've spoken to have said she would have died in that abortion clinic. So it wasn't just her babies that she was saving. It was her very own life that she was saving.
What does her mom say?
Yeah.
The mom had told her right up to the point, I mean, right as they're in the hospital, says, do not come home. You didn't have an abortion, do not come home. But God has changed her heart.
How about
that? The last that I heard, yeah. And but God just stepped in into this girl's life. It's so hard to figure out why this one, not this one. How he weaves and works his will through whoever he wants. And this was such a difficult thing. It was a battle for 2 days. I mean, this is.
But y'all didn't give up, did you?
We're not allowed to give up, Chris.
Amen to that, brother. All right, we ain't giving up either. We'll take a break, though, and come back on the other side. Once again, whowillstand.net. John Barros, you can follow him on Facebook. That's Barros with two R's. You're listening to The American Adversaries, and you can follow us on Facebook, too. That's The American Adversaries with two A's, I think. There are a bunch of them, anyway. We'll be back.
FM 105.5 and AM 660. The answer.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Police in the Phoenix suburb of Tempe say a woman who was struck and killed by an Uber self-driving vehicle had been walking a bicycle. Authorities say 49-year-old Elaine Hertzberg was walking outside a crosswalk late Sunday when she was hit. Uber says it has suspended all of its self-driving testing following what is believed to be the first fatal pedestrian crash involving the vehicles. Mississippi's governor says that by enacting a law that bans most abortions after 15 weeks of gestation, the state is saving more of the unborn than any state in America, and what better thing can we do? Republican Governor Phil Bryant made the comments while he signed the law Monday in a closed ceremony. That's according to a video his office posted to social media. On Wall Street, a down day as the Dow dropped 336 points to close at 24,611. The NASDAQ lower by 138. The S&P down 39. This is SRN News.
Nearly everyone loves Italian food. But those people who love true, authentic Italian go to Cafe Positano. It's because owner and chef Pasquale Barba offers home-cooked food from his hometown, Positano, Italy. He is Italian. Local fresh items are combined with rare ingredients imported only from Italy, along with generations-old family recipes. Whether it's pizza or those delicious daily specials, taste for yourself at Cafe Positano, 4 miles west of I-4 on 436. 407-774-8080, the most authentic Italian food in Central Florida.
For most Floridians, our home is our biggest investment. If you are shopping for a new home, vacation home, investment property, want to remodel your home, or need to refinance your existing home loan, you need the very best mortgage professionals working for you to make your American dream come true. I'm Mariah Lee with Patriot Home Funding. And regardless of your mortgage needs, Patriot Home Funding has just the right loan for you. All of our loan products offer the lowest possible fixed rates. We don't charge annoying and expensive junk fees, and you get the very best service and care from me and the rest of our experienced all-star team. Contact us today for a quick, easy, and free pre-qualification. You can call us at 877-377-8123 or visit us on the web at myphf.com. At Patriot Home Funding, we finance the American dream.
Patriot Home Funding is a licensed mortgage broker in the state of Florida. NMLS 171699 and is an equal housing lender.
The news stories are alarming. Sexual assault, violence, workers' comp fraud, and drug abuse. And it's happening in the workplace. Last year, a construction worker in Central Florida attacked his boss with a front-end loader and almost buried him alive. And the Pulse nightclub shooter worked as a security guard for a company that knew he was mentally unstable. Hi, I'm Kathy Santomassino with ASAP Programs. If you're a business owner or manager, it's your responsibility to safeguard your employees. Did you know a company can be held liable if an employee does harm to someone? Negligent hiring can result in a company being sued, especially if that company didn't conduct a thorough background check. With Applicant 360 Screening Solutions, you will be able to effectively screen your job applicants and make smarter hiring choices. Don't base your decision on a first impression and a resume. Call me today at 407-702-9511. Call 407-702-9511.
Do you suffer from back pain? Have trouble sleeping? Do you ever wish you could get a truly great night's sleep or have your own massage on demand? For 51 years, Relax and Comfort has helped people sit, sleep, and feel better every day. See why ABC, CBS, and Fox are talking about the new X10 bed. It's the perfect marriage of a Sleep Number bed and a Tempur-Pedic bed. Its cool gel memory foam comfort layers are totally adjustable from ultra soft to ultra firm for each side. Add a zero gravity base and you'll have hundreds of healthy and relaxing positions for you and your partner. Save thousands over the leading national brands. With the sustainable X10 design, you'll never need to buy another bed. Get the world's best adjustable beds and massage chairs at no interest, 0% financing. That's less than $5 a day to own. Relax in Comfort, family owned and operated over 50 years, has stores in Winter Park, Sanford, Windermere, and the Villages. And remember to enter the free drawing for a Human Touch iJoy massage chair. It's amazing how lifelike these chairs feel. Learn more, visit relaxandcomfort.com. Call 321-329-3118. That's 321-329-3118.
Folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I took on the Iron Sheik from Iran. I took on Nikolai Volkov from the USSR. I took on Andre the Giant from France. I just want you to know, time for more political mayhem with the American adversaries. Tough guy, how about a ho?
And away we go with the show. Thanks for being out there tonight, folks, listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Primetime Show. Once again, got some nasty weather rolling in. So if you don't have to go out tonight, then don't. All right, then stick there and listen to us. That's right. They got Aubrey Kahn and John Barros in the studio with myself, Christopher Hart. Nick's on the bridge. 407-774-8255 is the number. Before we get back to business here, I just want to remind you that tomorrow night is going to be Trump 2020 Club on Tuesdays, and that's being brought to us by Sutherland Nissan. If you are in the market for a new car or a pre-owned car, please give them a chance out there at Sutherland Nissan. At least stop by and see what they have to offer out there. Maybe they can make a deal for you, one that you can't refuse because it's so good. That's Sutherland Nissan on East Colonial Drive at Chickasaw Trail. And you can visit their website. That's OrlandoNissan.com, OrlandoNissan.com. And once again, Sutherland Nissan is not a high-pressure operation out there, but they definitely want to give you the best deal they can give you. And if you take a test drive in one of the new cars, even if you don't buy it, you'll come away with a $25 gift card. All right, that's Sutherland Nissan, East Colonial Drive, and Chickasaw Trail, OrlandoNissan.com.
Don't they have to mention that they heard us on American Adversaries?
Yeah, that's right. Go when you head out there, tell them you want to see those Titan trucks and that the Titans of Talk Radio, the American Adversaries, sent you out there. Okay?
You might not get your $25 gift certificate without telling them that.
Yeah, well, you'll get it, but please do tell them that. We appreciate their sponsorship. And please support all of our sponsors, including, of course, Aubrey Kahn here. They're great sponsors. And could not do the show without them. That is the fact of the matter. And, John, you wanted to say hey to somebody, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to say, I went through some medical stuff today, and I wanted to say thank you so much to Tricia, the nurse,
yeah,
and to Daisy, the administrator there.
And the doc.
And the Dr. Collins. I mean, I can't thank those people enough for going through that and helping me out with all that. But then there's this other lady, Chris.
Yeah?
This other lady, I can't figure out. There's some of them you just can't figure out, right?
Right.
I have a friend named Frosty. He has a beautiful house on a lake here down by downtown Orlando. Has the most beautiful dock ever, an island right out in the middle of this huge lake.
Yeah.
You know, he used to go there and sit on his dock and go on his boat and all that out there. And then all of a sudden, she decides it's time to move to Kissimmee, right? Next to some stinking cows that are
That's where Aubrey lives down there.
You're looking at me when you say cows. I'm not a cow, I'm a bull, okay?
Okay, there's all these cows next to her property. I mean, stinking the place up. And she wants Frosty to move.
Oh.
And we've been trying to talk some sense into her, but we're trying to... Oh, so I noticed they've started a hashtag now, the hashtag Save Frosty's Dock. But I don't know. I don't know what's going to become of it.
All right. Poor Frosty's Dock. Okay. All right. By the way, I want to wish Zwayne, our traffic and news guy, happy birthday today.
Yes. Happy birthday, Zwayne.
Yeah. Loved your cake. Hope you got a piece. All right, let's go to Ted. Our man, Dr. Ted Noel, is on the line. I was talking about the president's new drug policy today, and it's pretty much just a reiteration of the same drug policy we've had for some time, with some modifications, including the death penalty. But Dr. Ted, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. You recall Einstein's definition of insanity?
Yeah, doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for different results.
That's exactly what the president's plan is.
Yeah.
Insane.
Well,
let's do a little educational thought experiment.
Yeah.
You have an addict. He knows how much he needs, and he gets that much the next day. Is he going to overdose?
Eventually, quite possible.
No, he's not, because he knows his dose. He gets it the second day, the third day, the fourth day. As long as he is getting his dose, he will never overdose. What is it that causes overdoses?
They don't know what they're getting, for one.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That's the key. You don't know the dose.
Right.
Now, how many people do you know who are, in fact, addicts on narcotics every day? I bet you don't know a quarter of them are addicts.
Right.
Because they've got chronic back pain, and they're on chronic narcotics because they're needed for their back pain.
I see.
But they just didn't tell you.
Right, right.
You see, being steady on narcotics doesn't do squat. Most of those people function just fine in the world. And the state of Portugal has demonstrated very clearly that you can absolutely eliminate all but the smallest fraction of overdose deaths with a very simple move. You decriminalize and you put up a maintenance program. And their maintenance program costs less than a latte a day.
Right. Yeah.
So you have people come in, they get their dose.
Right.
And as long as they get a standard dose, remember what my specialty is. I'm an anesthesiologist.
Right.
Narcotics were my stock in trade. I literally administered fentanyl by the gallon because it's an extremely safe drug. The key is not knowing how much you're getting of a given drug, because fentanyl, morphine, dilaudid, heroin, carfentanil, remifentanil, alfentanil, sufentanil, you didn't know there were that many in the family, did you?
Right.
All of those are extremely safe drugs as long as you know the dose.
Right.
And in Portugal, they know the dose. And it turns out you don't need to pay for rehab. About half of the narcotic addicts will wean themselves off inside of 10 years.
Yeah.
And their death rate is essentially zero. The other side of this is taking a look at why are people bringing in the drugs. Because any one of those drugs costs less than an aspirin to make.
Right. But
the profits come because you made it illegal and people want intoxicants.
Right.
You decriminalize it, the price drops to its natural level, and there's no profit in it for the bad guys.
Yeah. Well,
so you eliminate the overdoses, you eliminate all of the crime. Yeah.
I've made this argument on the show numerous times.
Portugal has been doing it for almost two decades. And,
well, we have our own experience from Prohibition. Before Prohibition, you did not have the mobster. I mean, you had criminal activity.
We know what the answer is.
But the mobs became huge and rich because of the illegal outlaw. I'm sorry. Yeah, you still there? You still there, Ted? I guess maybe we. I guess Ted, you still there? I guess maybe we lost him. Anyway, I've made these arguments on the show numerous times, and so I think he's. In my opinion, I think he's right. The president obviously is not thinking outside of the box on this one. He's primarily interested in saving people's lives, and people think that if you keep these drugs out of people's hands, that it will save their lives. And if you could do that, it would. The problem is you can't do that, and it's because of the profit motive. And the odd thing is, the more effective you are at taking drugs off the street, the more you lure people into the business, because it drives the cost of the drugs up and therefore the profit margin. And the profit margin is it's just astronomical.
Chris, from what Ted was saying, that goes good in a perfect type of environment.
Mm-hmm.
But from working in the streets and being a chaplain at 33rd Street Jail all the years I have, and watching so many dear friends that it becomes friends die of overdoses, when they get to that point he's talking about where you just feed it, keep them at that dose and all that, that's a good thing. But so many of them don't want that.
Yeah.
They use, like even at the methadone treatment place over here, they use the methadone and then add heroin to it after they're gone. That's why the one on Columbia Avenue, you have to have counseling and all that kind of thing. And most of the people don't want to go to that one because they go to the one on 50 where you have no counseling, none of that.
They want.
And they're out there I lost a dear girl on methadone to an Ativan overdose. And they don't want that normalcy that he's talking about. They still want to get high. And that's why, with some, I think it would work of what he's talking about.
Right.
But some, I mean, most of the ones I meet anyway don't want to get normal.
And therein is the bigger part of the problem. And the president did address this today, the demand side, if you will, of this equation as well. And that is the bigger part of the problem, because they create the market for the illicit trade. Or at least it drives it. But there isn't any one perfect solution. The thing when you go to, and I would go even further, a step further than decriminalization, I would go to legalization. Because when you have a black market for things like this, that black market goes to fund the criminal activity. Yeah. And we now know also via the Hezbollah and these other organizations that the narco traffic is also used to fund terrorism. And it's going to be impossible to stop that simply because of the profit margins that you're dealing with here.
But if you do legalize it, how are you going to control it?
The way you would control alcohol or tobacco or drugs that you get through a pharmacy. And because it does come, a lot of it does, and I understand what you're talking about, John, and, mm-hmm. and you're right. There are a lot of people out there who just can't get enough. But for a lot of folks, it's a maintenance thing. They just want it to quit their hands shaking or whatever. They just need it to get through the day. And unfortunately, when they get it from the street, like he was saying, you don't know what you're getting.
No.
You have no idea, really. And then when there's this sort of blend or combination of drugs, you really have a real problem on your hands, and the situation is dramatically worse because once again, the people don't know what they're taking.
Right, but don't you think that if you legalized it, young people would want to experiment with it, and that would create an additional problem?
I think that, well, we see that, for instance, in Colorado, the use of marijuana did go up.
Exactly, okay. And so did vehicle accidents and deaths.
All right, but let's look back once again at Prohibition. Now, during Prohibition, you could actually drink. You just couldn't sell the stuff or make the stuff, right? But you could actually have it and drink it. So people were drinking it. But when Prohibition was ended, what happened with the use of alcohol? Did it go up, down, or stay the same after Prohibition was ended?
It probably went up.
It went up. And what has it been doing pretty much ever since it peaked?
It's
been going down.
Has it really?
Yes, it has. Indeed. In terms of people's use on a yearly basis.
Because, I mean, the beer companies and the liquor companies are expanding.
Right.
So
that's because there's more people out there. Not because people are drinking more, but because there are more people drinking.
But we have more alcoholics than we've ever had.
I don't know that there's a statistic that tells us that. I know that there aren't as many drunk driving deaths as there used to be, but those two things may not be related. Anyway, I didn't mean to get all so deep into this, but obviously it's a thorny issue, and there is no good solution, and. But maybe there is a solution after all, and maybe they have found it in El Salvador. I'll tell you what I'm talking about when we come back from the break. You're listening to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, coming to you live. And don't forget, Larry Elder follows us up at 7 o'clock. And of course, tomorrow is Trump 2020 Club Tuesday. I hope you're going to be here for it. We'll be right back.
FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
Well, you've heard the horror stories. The couple comes home from shopping.
Oh my gosh, there's water pouring out of the ceiling fan in the living room. Henry, quick, grab a bucket.
My new wood floors. They're ruined. Gosh, I wish we had this home inspected before we signed on the dotted line.
This is Aubrey Kahn of Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Buying a home is the biggest investment you'll make. You have to know what you're getting into. Henry and June now have a nightmare on their hands. Don't let that happen to you. Call Firm Foundation Home Inspections before you sign on the dotted line. We'll inspect the property from roof to foundation with the latest technology to know if there are any leaks or electrical problems. You'll get a detailed report, and at Firm Foundation, we warranty our work, ensuring your peace of mind.
Don't make that big investment without calling the home inspector that more realtors use. Firm Foundation Home Inspections. Call 321-624-0254 or go online to orlandoshomeinspector.com.
We hear
here at the American Adversaries Radio Network are blessed to have great sponsors like Jerry and Jana Shepherd, owners of Jerry's Mercedes-Benz Service Center. And if you have a Mercedes-Benz, you've been blessed to have them as your dealership alternative. With their professionalism and expertise and state-of-the-art technology and facilities, they provide the best of service at the best price. Now, if you have a BMW, you have the same opportunity to have that friendly and reliable and affordable alternative to your dealer. Just like Mercedes-Benz owners who have taken advantage of this option, you BMW owners have a real alternative to high dealer prices and impersonal service. Jerry's MB is located just off Alafaya Trail, just north of UCF. So take that BMW to Jerry's, where they treat you and your car like royalty. Visit them at jerrysmb.com or call 407-366-6499. That's 407-366-6499. Jerry's MB is a proud sponsor of the American Adversaries Radio Show.
Welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the American Adversaries, and we got a little bit sidetracked into the debate about drugs and legalizing and not, and use and everything like that. And at the end of the day, you know, perhaps the solution stares us in the face in the form of John Barros right here.
Yes, sir.
Right? you're downtown every day. What method do you use in order to get these folks to change their mind? What changes their heart? What changes their mind?
Romans 1 tells us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation.
Right.
So it's God. The gospel is God's power, and that's what works with addicts. Let me tell you something. As a chaplain, I only recommend one place for people to go here for rehab. The only one I tell them to go to, and they're all over the place, trust me, but is Teen Challenge over in Sanford. You should get them on the show sometime. They do an amazing program. I've got guys in there now that are out functioning in society after spending a year in there, after being lost on the streets for years. But once you're in there and you're fed the gospel and you live in there a year, being retrained your mind with God's word and with encouragement and all of that, it makes a massive difference.
Yeah. With a lot of addicts, of course, they're dealing with pains and things like that, and they got stuck on drugs because they got to their doctors and stuff. But a lot of people use drugs because of anxiety.
They want to be numb.
Well, right. They can't deal with every day. They can't deal with their life every day.
Right.
And it's because they're missing something. See, that's where a good, healthy knowledge of and belief in God can take a lot of that anxiety away. I know sometimes in the morning when I wake up, I'm anxious. First thing I do, though, is I pray to God for the strength just to get through the day.
Yeah.
And then somehow that anxiousness just sort of fades away, and I start getting into the day.
Yeah.
And they down in El Salvador, they have a tremendous problem with gangs down there. We know because we've been getting them up here, MS-13 and other variations of gangs. And lo and behold, in one of their worst prisons down there, a number of these gang members got together and decided they didn't want to be gang members anymore. Well, you just can't up and get out of a gang. You know, they'll come after you and kill you. So what they did was they banded together. And you know what it was that got them out of the gang? We were just talking about
the gospel.
Right. Exactly. The Pentecostal church has become their outlet. And 200 of these inmates in the worst prison down there got together, and the prison reorganized and gave them their own cell block, if you will, so that they would be isolated from the other gang members who don't want them to get out of the gang. And the whole point is that they are finding in Christ, in the gospel, what they were searching for in the gangs.
Correct.
People join gangs because they're looking for some sort of connectedness.
Family.
Exactly. Exactly. I saw a survey, this was a number of years ago, that they had done of gang members. The number one reason, by far the number one reason why the kids join gangs is, you just said it, they're looking for a family.
Yep.
And some of these kids have great families, but they don't have that family connection, you see. And they're looking for that family connection. and they find it in gangs. They don't have to find it in gangs. They can find it in the church and in the gospel. And that's what these gang members are turning to down there in El Salvador. Hopefully, it'll catch on up here where they've been exporting their MS-13 members to us. But the bottom line is, these other political solutions are imperfect. They always will be. The only one perfect solution, if you will, is in the Bible, is in the gospel, is in believing in Christ. And as John says,
I was in one of those gangs.
Were you?
Back in California. Yeah, no, that, you know, I'm getting old now, but it was, I don't know, about 40 years ago, probably. Or,
yeah.
So, same thing, looking for family, looking for somebody that cares, looking for...
that connectedness.
Yeah.
The sense of belonging, the sense that you're important to the group, if you will.
And the only one that you can truly find that, truly be satisfied in that, is in Christ,
right.
Jesus. I mean, there's everything else is like a... looks like it, but the substance, when you get to the very core of it, isn't there.
Right.
And
so, you know, political solutions are, they're imperfect by nature. They always will be. They always have been. But the solution that is perfect is the gospel, is belief in Christ, belief in God, and dedicating your life to that.
Submitting to Him.
Exactly.
I wasn't ever happy till then.
It takes a whole burden off your shoulders, right?
Yeah. Oh,
you feel like the world is on your shoulders until you realize that, no, you ain't got to do that.
Right.
You see?
There's peace.
Right. So, once again, whowillstand.net. You can visit John Barros' website. That's John Barros with two R's. And he was just telling us a story during one of the breaks about how a girl came running out the front door, she thought he was going to attack him. Tell us what happened.
Oh, there was a precious girl. I think her name was Cynthia. I can't remember. But during the preaching, got done preaching, and I went over. I sit on this little wall because my back is so bad. And then all of a sudden the door opens up, and out she comes with her eyes are like saucers but happy.
Yeah,
and she runs over and gives me a big hug and said thank you that the God had spoken to her through the preaching and
she was ecstatic.
Yeah, you can see it in the picture.
Yeah, he showed us. She took a selfie.
She wanted to take a selfie.
She's got this big beautiful smile on her face. She looks like she doesn't have a care in the world.
Right, these girls know that they will never look as good again the rest of their life as when they take a picture with me, because I'm so hideous looking. but no, she was so happy and so thankful. And you know, God does that. He just, like you were saying, just through His Word, and nobody can explain it. But that's how He does things.
Right.
I cannot change anybody's mind about anything. I am not capable of that. But He can take an old, cold heart and give him a brand new heart with eyes that can see and deliver him from that place.
And it doesn't matter where you are or who you are or what situation you're in, what He said holds true. All right. Larry Elder's up next, the great Eldersky. And we'll be back tomorrow night with Trump 2020 Club Tuesday. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook. That's American Adversaries on Facebook. Me on Twitter, at Chris Hart Radio. And our website is AmericanAdversaries.com. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Media Group. It's 7 o'clock.